This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
You're watching Pastor Sean Condren's Office TV Network, where we have new, classic Christian TV shows, movies, Christian talk shows, and Sunday services from around the world for all ages and more. We are broadcasting live 24/7 here on www.pscotvnetwork.org. Thanks again for watching and supporting our TV network, live from our TV studio at Pastor Sean Condren's office.
This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
All rise.
Please rise as you are able.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God. After that scene, I have to say, let us pray. Oh God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we will become one living body, your incarnate presence on the earth. Amen. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, the wrong we have done, and the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned in weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, and renew our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, graciously grant this humble church peace and unity if it is your will. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other a sign of peace. Peace with you. Gavin, peace be with you. And peace be with you. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven, the universe, and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God of God, light of light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one with the Father, by whom all things were made. He came down from heaven for our salvation. He was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered gravely, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He is in heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father, whose kingdom shall have no end. He shall come again forward to judge both the living and the dead. We believe that our ongoing journey following the path he laid for us will lead to his eternal embrace. We believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken and speaks to the prophets. We believe in the sacred coalition of Christian and apostolic churches, who together rightly praise and glorify him. We acknowledge holy Christian baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world and universe to come. Amen. Be seated, please.
A reading from the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh. According to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh.
Okay.
Was an exceedingly large city in 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. He cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. That's weird.
Bless you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the feudal ways and inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love. Love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat, and with the hired men, and followed him. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord, the Lord of life. Be seated, please. A good college friend of mine wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to go to some distant and exotic part of the world and preach the gospel. We both had met missionaries and heard them tell their stories.
My friend and I had become good friends with a missionary to Pakistan. We corresponded frequently with a missionary to Brazil. One of our classmates had gone to Peru. And my friend had been inspired by these missionaries and decided to go on the mission field and share the gospel. So my friend packed his bags after he graduated and traveled to the distant land of Hawaii. Hawaii. I couldn't believe it. "What kind of mission field was that?" I asked him. "Well," he said, "somebody's got to do it. Might as well be him." Poor old Jonah finds out that the Lord is calling him to the mission field. But it is not sunny Hawaii. It's Nineveh. Folks, going to Nineveh is like going to Baghdad in Iraq. It is not the place a tourist would go. It is not the place that any person in their right mind would go. But it is the place where God calls Jonah to go. The book of Jonah opens with the Lord speaking to Jonah, saying, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me." Jonah, being both a man of devout faith and of devout reason, does the reasonable thing. Nineveh is in the east. Jonah, therefore,
takes the westbound train. He heads for the sea and tries to go in the opposite direction from Nineveh. You see, Nineveh was not the kind of place that would welcome a stranger, especially a stranger who was going to tell them to change their ways. This was a cruel city and a cruel nation. At one point in their history, the Assyrians would decapitate their enemies and mount the heads on poles at the city gates as a warning to anyone who entered the city. What a bizarre welcome sign. Now, who wants to go visit a city like that? Jonah doesn't, so he runs and goes the other way. Now, of course, what happens is that while he's at sea, Jonah's boat is caught up in a storm. Jonah is thrown overboard, and a giant sea creature is sent by God to swallow Jonah. This fellow is having a bad time of it. First, he is told by God to go to the worst place on earth and tell to meet his people on earth to repent of their sins. Then he is caught up in a terrible storm at sea, and now he's stuck in the belly of a fish. It must have been frightening, dark, and it must have smelled terrible. But within that place, Jonah remembered God and praised God. Jonah is then rescued, and he goes out onto Nineveh. And this is where we pick up the Old Testament lesson for today. Jonah has been rescued, and he goes onto Nineveh. Now, Jonah does not like the people of Nineveh. He is, in a sense, a cultural racist. We all know people like that. There are some people who are like that with blacks, or whites, or Hispanics, or Muslims, or Jews, or Arabs. Jonah was like that with the people of Nineveh. He despised them. So it is perhaps with some pleasure that when he finally gets to Nineveh, he pronounces a message of judgment and destruction, announcing that in 40 days the city would be destroyed by God. Then the people of Nineveh do the most amazing thing. They listen to Jonah. They repent. They change their ways of doing things. They changed their lifestyles. The king himself issued a proclamation for everyone to pray and repent. Who knows, said the king, perhaps the Lord will change his mind and not destroy us. And in fact, that is just what happens. The Lord spares Nineveh. For Nineveh to repent means that anybody can repent. Anybody can turn to God. Anybody can change their lifestyle. I suspect that most of us know someone that we consider to be hopeless. A parent who is an alcoholic. A spouse who has had an affair. The child who is a terror. The neighbor who is a thief. The criminal in the jail cell. But the message of Jonah is that there is not a single person who is hopeless. Anyone can repent. I had a good friend who worked for the Department of Corrections as a counselor before entering the ministry. He met a lot of prisoners. He tells me that many of them talked about how they were going to change their life when they got out of prison. But over time, it seemed they all came back to jail, and it got to be rather depressing. He said it felt hopeless, but it was not hopeless. He did meet one person who was one of the most violent, meanest people he had ever met. He said he was a scum. He was worthless. He was hopeless. When the man began going to church and professing Christ as Savior, he immediately knew that it was just a con job. He was up to something. He said he just knew that he was up to no good. But it's been about 20 years. The man is still going to church. He has not returned to jail, except to preach. My friend says he is one of the gentlest people he knows and a true Christian in every way. My friend said that to him, he was beyond redemption. To God, he was given grace. To him, he was worthless. To God, he was a child of God. To him, he was hopeless. God never thinks of anyone as beyond hope. If Nineveh can repent, anybody can repent. If that city could change, any city could change. If those people could change for the better, then anyone can change for the better. Even the parent who is an alcoholic. Even the spouse who has had an affair. Even the child who is a terror. Even the neighbor who is a thief. Even the criminal in a jail cell. Even you and me. The book of Jonah has such a dramatic miracle and such a controversial biblical event. People get wrapped up in trying to defend the scientific possibility that a man can indeed be swallowed by a fish and survive, that they miss the greatest miracle of all in the book. God has hope in us. God has faith that we can repent God offers us that opportunity. The miracle in the book of Jonah has nothing to do with the giant fish swallowing the man Jonah. It has to do with the fact that Nineveh changed. And Nineveh can repent. Anybody can repent. Jonah is often called the reluctant prophet because, as we have said, he did not want to go to Nineveh and preach the good news to them. It was easier for him to hate than to love. It was easier for him to look at someone as hopeless rather than full of possibility. It is easier for us to turn our backs on people than to extend a helping hand or friendship. It's easy to hate the parent who's an alcoholic. God calls us to have hope in that parent. It is easy to despise the spouse who is destructive, to dread the child who is a terror, to fear the criminal in the jail cell. It's easy to hate someone because of their skin color, because of their nationality. And it is easier for us to just ignore them because we think of them as hopeless. But God has love for those people. God has hope in those people. And you know what the hope is that God has in these seemingly hopeless people? It is us. You and me. We are the hope for the hopeless. Because who knows what possibilities there are in those people we have come to know as hopeless? Who knows what value there is in the person we have come to think of as worthless? When God gives you the opportunity to extend the hand of friendship to someone you have come to consider worthless and hopeless, don't run the other way as Jonah tried to do. Take the opportunity. Who knows what will happen to that other person? Here at Dallas Universal Life Church, we always have room in the sanctuary. Reminder that we haven't invited enough people to come to church. We are too much like Jonah. We don't want to go to the people and invite them. Maybe we don't like them, and we just don't want them in our church. Maybe we just don't have any hope that they would respond to an invitation. But God always calls us to invite, not just the people we like, or who are like us, or we consider worth the time to invite, but all of the people God loves. In the New Testament lesson, Jesus told his disciples that he would turn them into fishers of men and women. I used to love to go fishing with my grandfather on Cattle Lake. We'd go out in a boat, fishing in the lake, and we'd spend most of the time just talking. I mean, after all, it's not called catching, it's called fishing. And catching fish was not as important as simply being out on the lake together. One day, the fish were really hopping. You know how they play on the water sometimes, jumping out into the air and flopping back into the lake, taunting you. We'd see one of the fish jump up out of the water, and we'd throw a line that way. But of course, the fish would hurt and move on somewhere else. Now, I kid you not, this is a true story, not a fish story. One of the fish actually jumped into the boat. Granddaddy and I always had argued about who caught that one. That is the way we are being fishers of men and women. One soul happens to jump into the pew, great. But Jesus calls us to be fishers of people, to cast our nets out and bring in the people. And we better get started, because we are the only hope the hopeless have to hear the gospel. Amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. To God who welcomes all in love, let us pray for the good of the church and the concerns of those in need. For the church, we may recognize the reign of God has begun and make our activities signs of our Christian discipleship. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace of courage, that the Spirit of God will make us confident in sharing God's message, and that our lives will be an invitation to others to encounter God today. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are alienated or disconnected from God, that the Spirit will spark a new flame of faith in their hearts and open them to a new relationship with God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a deeper appreciation of life, that the Spirit of God will guide us in supporting women who have a difficult pregnancy and open ways to address the many issues that make abortion an even option. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For greater care for the earth and its resources, that God will guide us in being good stewards of the earth and protecting its resources for future generations. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who experience persecution for their faith, that God will give them strength to remain faithful and protect them from further harm. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
for all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Restore them so you can be a blessing to others and share fully in the life of the community. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For peace, that God will change the hearts of those inflicting violence and open opportunities for dialogue so that peace and justice may be established. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who have died, that their souls be at peace in his eternal embrace, and that those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's comfort, blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray to our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. Praise the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. God of every land and nation, you have created all people, and you dwell among us in Jesus Christ. Listen to the cries of those who pray to you, and grant that, as we proclaim the greatness of your name, all people will know the power of love at work in the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. We give thanks for all we have received, O God, gifts of love and time, money and abilities. In these bowls and in this gift, in these bowls and this place, we turn a portion of these gifts. Bless those who receive them, just we're blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen.
Lord God of all creation, for your goodness we receive the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth, and work of iniquity, and for us the bread of life. The mystery of this wine and wine, that we share in the divinity of Christ, allowing himself to share in our humanity. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for your goodness we receive in our love, and through the divine work you have given for us, our spiritual and true. In the Spirit, we come to our God, and accepted by you, Lord, and our sacrifice and mercy this day, please the kingdom. Lord, watch over my liberties. Cleanse me from my sins.
May these gifts we offer show. May these gifts we offer show we recognize your claim upon us, Holy God. Use them so your grace, your love, and your hope may be shared with everyone who needs them. Amen. All rise, please. May the God of the outsiders be with you, and also with you. Open your hearts to God, dear friends. We pour them out to you, the one who sees us. Sing songs of gladness to our God. We join in the chorus of all who believe. Into the swirling mist of chaos and destruction, you toss the seeds of creation, persistent God. Whales that power through the seas, puffins that gather on rocky islands, gases which coalesce into stars. All your wonders were gifts for your children, but we chose to stew in sin's acid. You longed to rescue us from death's belly, sending even the most reluctant prophets to proclaim the nearness of your compassion, but we refused to change our minds. Sure, we could bribe our way out of sin's grasp. Persistent to a fault, you sent Jesus to proclaim your good news. With the inmates who prove to be unfaithful, with the interlopers who trust and believe, we sing songs of joy to you. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of steadfast love. All creation waits in trust for you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who brings the kingdom near. Hosanna in the highest. Leaving that safe place, which is your holiness, gracious God, Jesus came at that time appointed by you. He set aside all he possessed so we might have the riches of your merciful heart. He refused to let our fears prevail against his life of grace, continuing to draw us near to your kingdom. He went a little farther than we dared imagine, walking for 3 days in death's cool shadows before coming forth into the bright joy of his resurrection. As we would faithfully follow Jesus, going a little farther with him each day, we proclaimed a kingdom called faith. Christ died, claiming the promises of hope. You raised Christ, claiming him from death. Christ will return, claiming us for you. Be seated, please. Now is our time to be fulfilled. Now is our time fulfilled, blessing God, as we gather at this table, the bread and the cup made sacred by the presence of your Spirit. We eat of the bread, praying that its grace might strengthen us so we would become as persistent as you in confronting injustices, challenging oppressive actions, reaching out into the fallen. We drink from the cup, trusting that hope will spill out from us upon the lonely and the lost, the hungry and the homeless, and especially on the outsiders. For on the night that he was betrayed, he himself took bread. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Then when the appointed time comes, and you gather us with your sisters and brothers around the supper of the Lamb in glory, we will sing our praises to you forever, God in community, holy in one. Amen. As always, we celebrate communion in the way of Jesus Christ. All are welcome to share in the celebration. No one is excluded. We humbly thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this gift that we share today, and pray it strengthens our bonds as Christians and as men and women for others. Amen.
My soul, feel love. My highest hope. mercy will surely follow me all of my days. You are my highest hope. Your glory I love to see. All who are thirsty come, the fountains flowing and free. You are my rest, you are my peace, you are the hope for all who believe. Faithful and true, King of all kings, you always will be my highest hope. King of all kings, you always will be my highest hope.
Let us pray. God of the prophets, you call us from evil to serve you. Fulfill in us your commonwealth of justice and joy. The light of your presence may be revealed to all nations, to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please.
It's time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
It's going to rain. It's going to rain
some snow. It's going to snow tonight.
Oh, my. It's snow tonight, folks. Okay. Well, if you'll go, we'll have the announcements. How about that? Pray it comes. Pray it comes. Pray at DallasGLC.com. Pray at DallasGLC.com. That's an email address. You can go to that email address, or you can go to DallasGLC.com and click on Request for Prayer. That's what that is. That's your prayer request line. We'll send us an email, pray at dallasgoc.com. We pray every day here at Dallas Jerusalem Church. You can ask your prayers to remain anonymous, or you can give us your name. You can ask that your prayers be said during our daily prayers, or you can ask that your prayers be said during our prayers of intercession here on Sunday with the entire congregation. Once again, that's pray at dallasgoc.com, or you can go to dallasgoc.com and click on prayer request. You can make a difference. We are a church of all volunteers. None of us here take a salary, not even myself. We're all volunteers. And the only way we make it is through our tithes from our community here, and from donations from people out there in the world, like people in YouTube land and Podcastville, who can help us out and help us keep our doors open. We don't have anything to sell here, folks. We're just offering the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God to all the world. And we're trying to spread that message that everybody is welcome, that He's all forgiving, all loving, all welcoming. That's what we're trying to be here. And if you believe that message of true Christianity should be going out to the world instead of some of the people who are proclaiming their own Christianity today with words that don't match what they're saying and don't match what Christianity is. Yeah. Please consider making a donation to Dallas Jerusalem Church. We're trying to make a difference here, folks, and we can't do it without you. So to do that, just go to DallasGLC.com and click on the button for donate. We are a nonprofit organization, so it's all your donations are tax deductible. Tax season coming up, folks. This is a really good time to do that, and we could use your help. So go to DallasGLC.com and click on donate. We appreciate it. Now, it never fails. Bishop, I love the church. I do. I love the church. I want to help you out as much as I can, but I don't have any money. I'm broke. Well, guess what? Join the club. I'm broke too. So you do what we all do. What we all do here is volunteer church. You volunteer, your time is your money. It's a good way to tithe from the church. It's a good way to get to know your fellow parishioners as well. So you can go to DallasGLC.com. Again, DallasGLC.com is the place to go for everything, isn't it? DallasGLC.com, click on the button for volunteer. There you'll find a list of the volunteer positions we have available. If you don't see something there you like, it's okay. Come on in. I promise you I have some work for you to do. There's 11 hours a day for us to finish everything, and we could use your help. So please, go to DallasGLC.com, click on volunteer, or just come in and see me, and I'll put you away. I promise I have something for you to do. All right. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. Very important. These are four very important things. We want to hear about these things. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints, all of them very important. Please go to feedback at DallasGLC.com and let us know what they are. Or simply go to DallasGLC.com and click on Contact Us. There's a form you can fill out. All of them very important. We take them all very seriously. Please, if you have one of those, please let us know.
Are you looking for open and honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more? Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares. We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:35:30 Central. It's simple. Just go to Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church and enjoy.
Okay. Welcome back. Cards here now. And make sure you take some of these with you when you leave today. Make sure you're passing these out to people, folks. We want people to know about this. It talks about our Wednesday night shows. It also has our information, which I'm going to show you here, about our show on Channel 8 with the Pastor John Condren Television Network. It's at PSTOTVnetwork.org. We have a 24-hour day channel there, Channel 8 for Dallas ULC. You see all Dallas ULC all day long, all hours, any time of the day, every second of the day, right there on Channel 8 on PSTOTVnetwork.org. And there's a little biography about me, who I am, so people don't think that I'm just some crazy kook that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Last Wednesday was very good. I was actually here by myself. We sometimes have people come in and sit in the sanctuary and watch the show, the live show, with us. It's kind of fun to have it all here. But I did it myself last Wednesday, and we talked about revenge and about forgiveness. And it was good. And it kind of fell into what we kind of talked about today a little bit, because we talked about repentance. And I think that's where we're going next week. This was going to be Wednesday. I think we're going to be talking about repentance. I think that's what I said at the end of the show. I'll have to go double check. I'm pretty sure that's what I said. Look, you're welcome to come in and join us. As long as you're here early enough, we do lock the doors so that there's not a lot of noise coming in. Because it's people calling in prayers. It's a prayer show, folks. They can call in. We can pray with them. They can talk to us about the problem. It's like a little round table right there on online for everybody in the world to do. And I enjoy it. And I hope more people will call in. I hope more people will see the program, and that involves y'all passing these things out. This is part of what we talked about also today in the gospel about, inviting people. This is a great way. Look, I'm giving you the material right here. You don't have to say much. It's all right here. Just hand it to them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, Wednesdays, 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time. It's live. It's Your Path Live with Bishop Mark. Online.church. Okay. Also, Channel 8 on PSTOTVnetwork.org. Okay. All right. Now, what do we got next? This is a fairly new thing for us. We are now, all of our services are now live. So when we're doing the service, we are broadcasting live to the world. Now, we've always had our services on for the last 8 years. We're almost 8 years in existence here. But we've always had to go and edit them and take them and put them on, later on. Well, now people can see it as it's happening. They can see our live broadcast, and they can also see all the wonders that happen as well, like they happen today. And that happens. Yes. It happens. And that's what real life is about. And that's kind of what makes it fun. I mean, you go to a church, they don't stop to set up for editing. They just keep on going. That's what we have to learn to do here as well on our live shows. And we're doing that. We're getting there, guys. We will get there. It's hard to go that many years and get used to being able to, get by with what we could. But now we have to be a little more pristine in what we do. And we're working on that. We are working on that. Simply go to dallasulc.online.church. That's going to be the link you need. Anytime we have a service going on, whether it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, whatever day, sometimes we have some services during the week for special days. Christmas sometimes falls on a Thursday or whatever. I know that Ash Wednesday is going to be coming up in February very quickly. On February 14th, which happens to be Valentine's Day also this year again, will be Ash Wednesday. And instead of having our talk show, our little past show, we will have service, and that will be broadcast live instead. So that would be my survey. The Wednesday service is very pretty. It's very nice. I enjoy doing that. Okay, it's the beginning of Lent. Very important season for us. So, dallasulc.online.church. We are live. Whenever we have a service here, we know what kind of service we're having, we are live. Please remember that when you're in the audience as well. We appreciate that. Thank you. Okay.
Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, oh yes. don't buy all the toilet paper.
Why do we do that? Why every week we have to listen to that silly song that's getting on my nerves all of a sudden?
That way we don't buy up all the toilet paper?
I hope not. What was the reason we were buying all the toilet paper, though, Gavin?
Washing your hands.
Why did people buy all the toilet paper? Why did they feel the need to do that?
COVID.
What does COVID have to do with taking a shit?
Not that thing, except washing your hands and also making sure that you don't touch your face.
Why did people buy all the toilet paper, Gavin?
Because they know that people are going to be under lockdown for COVID.
Possibly. See, that's the funny thing to me. People, that's the one thing people go rush for, toilet paper.
The FTC put out a list, and the first thing they was toilet paper.
What do you mean by that?
The FTC put out a list of things that you should
get is toilet paper.
You need
to get right.
They got it.
Let me tell you straight out. I know this is going to get a little personal here, but, you know, I personally have a brigade here at it's church here. Okay? And I find that I think it's ridiculous that the entire world doesn't use bidets. I think the United States is one of the only countries that I've seen that does not use it hardly at all. Look, if you get mud on your hands, you don't get a paper towel and just try and wipe it off with a dry paper towel. Okay? You use soap and water to try and rinse it off and then try it with a paper towel, right? Why wouldn't you do anything else with the other part of your body? Seriously.
Sure.
I mean, it's just my little rant today about that. Okay, look.
Toilet paper was admitted to take away bidets because
Well, I don't know what it was with the United States, why they're so afraid of bidets. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's a way of being clean. It's a very, I think it's disgusting not to use them now, honestly. Look, washing your hands. COVID is still around, folks. In fact, there's another variant out again that is very strong. Again, they're actually talking about doing masks again, talking about mandates again for this stuff. You know why? Because people aren't washing their hands. They haven't gone getting their vaccines. They aren't going to get their boosters. They're not taking care of themselves, and they're spreading disease again. And what's happening is people that don't have the vaccines, okay, they get this virus, right? That virus then mutates inside them and then is able to attack the people who have the vaccines again, so this way to make another booster. If your people would just get the vaccines, stick it up with the boosters, and wash your hands, practice your social distancing, wear a mask if you feel you need to in public. Look, guys, it's not that simple. It's not that difficult. It's very simple. This is just general cleanliness, hygiene. I think it's something we've gotten away from in this country, and that's one of the reasons it spread so like wildfire across this country. It did. Please don't let it happen again. It can kill us all. Seriously. This world could end because of this. If y'all don't believe that, trust me, it can. It can end. Okay, please wash your hands. It's the most simple thing you can do. Wash your hands. 20 seconds, minimum of 20 seconds, under soap and water. Then you take a paper towel. You turn off that faucet with that paper towel. You don't want to touch that dirty faucet. Then you dry them with the towel. Then you use hand sanitizer if you can use it. Okay, do that any time you possibly can. Any time you get water, any time you possibly can do it, wash your hands. Okay, that's my rant for that. Guess what?
What?
Bye, everyone.
No, not yet. Okay, we will do a roundtable after a short intermission. Mm-hmm. And I hope everybody remembers their homework. I'm assuming you didn't.
I forgot.
We got about 10 minutes to figure it out.
Well,
okay. Let's rise to our dismissal, please. Mm-hmm. And take the word of God into the world and place hope in the arms of others. Now take the word of Jesus into the world and follow to serve beside him in all broken places. Now take the word of Spirit into the world and bring others near to the kingdom where all are welcome. Amen. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen. We go in the name of Christ. I don't know this one. I hope you sing it.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
Telling them like a comparison of what I've gone through to what I was trying to say.
Right. What I'm trying to say is look, when you're out there in the world, you don't have to just there and recite the creed to people. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to tell your experience out the world. But when we're here at church, one of the things we do that creed based on the fact this is what we believe. We're standing up and saying, look, I believe this. And we go through that every year because I think it's important that we still make sure that because you know people change. The world changes. It's always in motion. The world universe is always in motion. It's always changing. Am I right? So I got you. And so you have to understand that if you're sitting stagnant, like some of the churches who are 2,000 years sitting stagnant, not changing the rules, not going with the flow, not learning, that world for a reason. We're just going with it. If you're not going with it, you're going against it. But I think if you sit there and just stay on those rules that you made 2,000 years ago and don't evolve, don't grow and don't change with society as it changes and people as they change. We're not the same people we were 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, you're making a mistake. And that's why I think it's so very important. Every year we go through this creed, which we have created based on two other creeds in the Bible, of what we believe. Okay? Did you have something to say?
I would say that the homework that you gave me, we actually ended up doing what I was assigned when you have looked up the. Who wrote?
And what was it? What did we come up with? You remember?
It was some guy from
John, right? He was John, but they weren't. He wasn't John the Apostle.
Revelations. We found out that one part of
Revelations
is considered to be like
it's controversial.
Yeah.
It is controversial. The Catholic Church has embraced it, and I think honestly, I think the reason the Catholic Church embraced it so well is because they like the fact that it could scare people. And I don't mean to say it that way. Yes, I do. Yes, I do mean to say it that way. Because you know what? A lot of churches, especially back when the church was starting, I mean, look, I need to get this. I know it was tough. You got 12 guys walking around going, you know, I want you to quit your religion that you're doing, Druids, and all you other people, and your Canaanites, and all you heathens, and quit what y'all are doing, and come follow me. I'm going to tell you about this man that got killed, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. He's ruling the world now. But you can't see him. But we're going to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen? So let me tell you something. Look, the guys were great marketers. I'm telling you straight up. They took, and a lot of people could fault them for this. They took the feast days that they were already participating in, these other religions were already using, okay? Jesus Christ was not born in December, folks. I hate to burst your bubble, but he wasn't, okay? Probably born actually more in the summer months, okay? That's what they're thinking. But that was, the 25th of December was a holiday for, it was, I believe, a pagan holiday. That they celebrated something else on, similar to a birthday party or similar to something about, about the birth of a god or something. So they put that date down there because it made people feel more comfortable starting to learn about Christianity and integrate the faith. And then slowly, they hold up, this is what it really is, right? Yes, it's marketing. It's what that is. You had to do it because, I mean, honestly, go door to door and knock and tell people what I just told you. And some guy just died and he's now ruling the world. He's God. And then we're just going to tell you about it. You can't see him. You can't do anything about it. You just kind of, he died and he rose from the dead.
For your sin.
Right. Now, look, they did have the Holy Spirit within them. And so that's a big thing. That's one of the reasons we know they were able to do what they did. But even with the Holy Spirit, I think it's pretty, look, guys, if you think about this, I mean, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever sat back and gone, if I wasn't brought up this way and somebody came to me and told me this story of Jesus Christ, I think they were high. I think they lost their minds. Am I right? I mean,
yeah. That's
the miracle of it, though, folks, because it's so amazingly unreal, but it is, and that's why our faith is so amazing. Okay. Look, I want us to finish that. Yes, we did go over that. Here's what I want you all to do. Okay. What were we discussing? What would you remember what the phrase was we were discussing? It was a problem.
That's
the one where
it's in this explosion zone.
Yeah. It's
today? No, that's what
it was in this week also. It was in, we read it this week. We read it this week. It was about
It was about,
he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. That was where our issue was, right? So, I do believe he's coming back. I believe that wholeheartedly. Because he said so. First of all, he said so.
Okay.
To judge the living and the dead, maybe. But I think the dead are judged.
That's what I did the homework. That is.
Go ahead. I want you to form your own opinion, but I want you to form an educated opinion. I want you to get online, and I want you to look it up. Look it up, Revelations. It's really, I learned some stuff I didn't know. Because, you learn things from seminary, some books. You're not going to get the same thing you get, get on the internet and get the other opinions and the other ideas. Because there's a lot of people who disagree with Revelations and the way it was written and what it was. The Bible, I'm going to say it just like I say everything else. Take it with a grain of salt. The Bible went through a lot of hands. Okay?
And then check. Go ahead. There were certain parts that they didn't like, and so
they changed things. They
did. So
they
did.
The whole book's missing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering. So did he say that he was going to, right at the beginning, did he say that before he actually died?
Believe so.
He said he
would return.
God, and he returned after 3 days. Do you think
that
would not be the same returning?
Yes. No, I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
I think he's talking about that he really, honestly, in my opinion, I believe that he would return.
Yeah.
The other part that we talked about, remember we talked about the body, bodily rising from the grave. Gavin had it down. Gavin knew that right away. And it's something that honestly, I'm going to say straight up, I didn't really understand that to be like that because they didn't teach in Catholicism. They don't teach us that. They don't understand anything about the body raising up in the grave like that. They said that we'll be judged when we die, and we read this that part of that creed every Sunday in Catholic, but people don't question it like we're questioning it now because I guarantee if people questioned it, they have a lot of questions about this stuff. Go ahead.
It might be like an ash test.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're afraid to. I mean, look, something like the Catholic Church is a big organization. Okay, they control a lot of money. They control a lot of people. They have a lot of power. A lot.
Hmm.
The Pope is actually a monarch. He's the head of a country. He's head of Vatican City, which is its own country. Okay. And it's the only monarchy in the world that is a voted upon monarchy. It's not a lineage. It's not a family. Okay. It's the only one where everyone comes and they vote like they want. It's all in the world like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a monarchy is what? A monarch or sometimes a dictator at times, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy for that to happen.
But
right?
This is the Pope.
And I think that, the Pope, like anybody else, is human and can get caught up in things and have issues happen and wants the best for his country and his people. And then, but I think, we'll come back to say, but the Bible is to look at it open minded. Not, look, I have a, and I almost feel like I'm because I don't mean to, but I just think it's just stupid. When you have literalists that open the Bible and say every single word, every dot, every period, and everything in that Bible is 100% true, real, it's happened, that's what God's word is, it's his solemn word, and that's it. Everything happened. But you know why I have a problem with that? Because then they say that, and they condemn people for little pieces of the Bible they want to condemn people for, and they ignore the rest of it.
The rest of it, yeah. Right.
How can you do that?
You can't.
You just said everything. Why are you eating shrimp? Why are you having sex without the idea of having a child? Why are you having sex with your wife who's had a hysterectomy or you've had a vasectomy?
Why are you having sex with your next door neighbor?
Well, that's another story.
There we go.
Well, I'm saying, look, they say that sex is procreate. That's first of all, right? Why are white people after a woman goes to college, she's not able to have children? Right? Why are you still having sex with her? It's a sin, isn't it? You're not having sex to procreate.
Not.
There's what I'm saying. So you take the Bible, you get all of them.
Thank God they don't.
They do.
They
do. It's
right. Yeah.
And then they pick and choose what they want.
They condemn and
they use certain verses. That would normally condemn their own selves to being a bad person too. To then use that against somebody else in a specific situation.
And I try not to get caught up in this because I hate to have the they and they and they did this, they did that, they did it. I hate that point of finger thing. But look, we get it all the time at us. And then we do. How can you can't just pick me? You haven't read the Bible. And we'll listen to some. I've read the Bible. And I've studied the Bible. And I've studied a lot of what people have said about the Bible and a lot of what other people say about the Bible. I've listened with an open mind and I've talked to God about the Bible and asked him his opinion on it.
And your opinion is?
Yes. I think it's, I'm saddened for the people that think that that is Christianity. That those people who have at these churches, that they are discriminatory, they are excluding people, they are racist, they are sad. They're homophobic. Look, folks, we all need red blood. We all bring the same air. If we're all looking at the same, it would be a real boring world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If any Christian, anybody that calls themselves a Christian, would ever use the Bible to hurt somebody else,
it's not being Christian.
That is the opposite of
it's not your job to judge. It's not their job.
So and using the Bible to love somebody else.
That's right.
That's the way it should be.
Jesus Christ took in a sinner. He didn't shun him. He took him in and hopefully taught him something. He didn't always happen that way, I'm sure. I'm sure there are people who didn't follow, didn't get it, and didn't care, right?
Right.
And that's going to happen with us too. But you know what? You keep trying. We talked about today about asking people to come to church. How many times do I say? It says in the bring somebody to church. I used to say it after every service. I give up. But I still post it in here, so I don't think it's in this
room. I try.
You know what? You do try. Yeah, but here's the deal. Talk about
judge your character. Don't go there.
I want you to judge your character.
I
do. Invite everybody. Everybody has a right to be here. Now.
From the guy that runs the car wash up there.
That's right. there are times that I've had to come, certain people. And that's not for me discriminating. That's the way to protect the rest of my congregation and myself. Because some people just don't get it.
They don't.
And when it puts my congregation at risk, and myself at risk, and my home at risk, and my church at risk, I have to kind of go look. I've tried with you, and I've given you a chance to look. I've tried to talk, and I'm talking to a blue in the face, and you're not getting it. It's not going to work. You just can't be here. Okay? And I hate having to say that to people. I take it down. But by that point, I'm not saying that. I've given them a million chances in the world, and they've screwed it up over time. Okay? So, repent. We're talking about repent. What does repent mean? We've been over this.
Forgive yourself. Ask for forgiveness and change the word.
Here's the deal. Here's the big thing about repentance we always forget.
Not repent.
Learn from your mistakes. Look, here it is. Repentance. You feel bad for what you did. There's a reason you have this thing called guilt in your belly, right? God gave that to you. It's a gift. Believe it or not, it's a gift. Because that way you know you're screwing up. When you feel that guilt in your belly, if you didn't know already, now you know. You screwed up, okay? So you feel bad. You truly feel sad. You know what you really are. You're sorry. You didn't mean to do it. You meant to do it, but you're sorry. Okay? You feel bad about it. Now, the big thing now is, well, what are you going to do now? Are you going to go back tomorrow and do the same damn thing?
Probably.
Or are you going to say, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to feel this again. I don't want to hurt anybody again. I don't want to hurt anything again. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to sin again. So, let me try and change. Let me work on it. Let me work on myself. Let me just try, just for today, not to do that. Right? There's a thing in the Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, just for today. Just for today. If you can do, if you have a sin that you're doing over and over and over again, which people do because you get addicted to sin, you get stuck in the ways, things are sometimes easier with sin, right?
Mm-hmm. Sin is basically a habit that's learned, I think. Something that over time.
No, it's not. You ain't learned.
I think it's a habit. I think it's a choice made is what it is, Gavin.
Choice.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. We have a choice. Look, we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we do have the choice not to be.
True.
Do we have the willpower?
Nope.
No.
Probably not on everything.
And I mean, the thing is, with sin can be forgiven for people that do not know that they're committing sin. But when you knowingly commit a sin and still do it, that's where God has a problem.
Look, I think innately we know you're right. The basics here, right?
I'm not saying that we, all the rules that we made up in churches and everything everybody knows, okay? I think that's trivial again, okay? The rules in churches are rules in churches. God didn't give those spiritual rules, okay? Those are rules put in by man. And you know what? We need structure. Our communities require, we have to have some sort of law and order, okay? There has to be there. But when it comes to basic understanding, I think that for the most part, and there's some exceptions, there are some exceptions to the rule. For the most part, we know that everybody knows there's right and wrong. I think you just do. You know, you do. And
we all have to learn that eventually.
But right. I think you have to realize, we all need to realize that there's a consequence. That there are consequences for our actions. And that especially those who refuse to repent, who refuse to change, who knowingly commit heinous sins, and all sin is the same in the eyes of God. Or murder the entire congregation at First Baptist Church.
It's the same.
So stop it.
Stop it.
I mean it. Stop it. I'm saying that as a human being to you, because I have said to myself all the time, too. Stop it.
Uh-huh. I believe it.
It's hard. It's hard being a human being and not sinning. We're not perfect.
And we're not supposed to be
doing it. Yeah, but you know what? We should ask for that help. That's. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't want to question God's motives, but I think maybe that's why he made us imperfect, so that we could ask him. Maybe he made us where we sin so that we can ask for his forgiveness, so he can give it to us, and we can feel that. Maybe if you never felt that love and that forgiveness that he offers us, what kind of world would we be in? I mean, yeah, okay. Well, you know, it's a little different, but. There's always an opposite to the good, right? There's a good thing. So the world keeps out. It's a universal secret. You've got what? Love. And you've got hate. Now, without love, you don't have hate. But who here doesn't want to have love to love hate? Hate's hard. But hate is what makes love so special.
Exactly.
Coveted. So sought after. So desired.
Then you hear a lot of people say, oh, you're not mad at me. Well, I don't hate you either.
I don't hate anybody.
I don't hate
anybody. I can't. And if you do, stop it. Because Jesus Christ gave us that commandment to love one another as he's loved us. And he loved us by giving us his life.
Doing up that same thing, right? Not just to be like, don't hate anyone that you hate. Ever really love someone.
You have to love everyone. Understand what you're saying about the bad thing. I get that. But hate's out there.
I mean, I understand
that. We've all experienced hate.
Yeah. Oh. We always feel that it's like a natural emotion. It's the same as love.
Jealousy is also a natural emotion. It comes up, right? Is it right?
No.
Is it good? No. But it comes up, and how we deal with that is how it's taken care of. Now, I know that, but everybody knows I'm a very jealous person. I am very jealous.
But you don't know it.
I have to learn.
I know. I've been
there. But I have to control that. I have to. And you know what? I cannot stop jealousy from coming up.
And we
I can't stop this hate from coming up. Well, yeah, okay. But how are you dealing with it? Because look, Jesus Christ could have hated so many people. What did he say on that cross? He said, God, forgive them. How did he forgive them?
Well, they don't know
what they're doing. Let's just forgive them. And sometimes you have to say the same thing about other people. And you have to forgive them because you didn't do
it. I did. I did it again.
Holding on to hate, having hate in your heart, pushes out the love. I agree that it's a weird, yeah, I see what you're talking about, the love and hate, and the balance. I would love for God to change the laws. And I think if we all get just a full of love in our hearts, I would love that.
It ain't going to happen. You've got it on
your desk. You know what? I don't put anything past God. I don't put anything past him. I've seen some miracles that I never thought I'd see in my life. I've seen miracles I never imagined anybody would see.
Name one. Okay. Me being here and coming back to see you, that's one of mine. I was like, God, please just let this be true. I don't want him to be dealing with idiots like that. I'm like, what is wrong?
Here's one. I'm sitting here as a bishop of the church. I'm 50 years old. At that's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Because, I mean, Don, you watched me die how many times?
Five.
So.
And I died twice.
And especially when I got my diagnosis in 98 of having 10 years to live, I just threw all of it to the wind. I didn't care.
But who's telling
you?
You know what?
Why not? And that's the way I felt. I think anybody on council now would say, go ahead and think about that. Because after 10 years up, I was still here. And I'd blown everything I ever had. I just screwed my whole life up. Right? You get told 10 years you're dead. What are you going to do? You go for it. Hell, let's go. Let's go.
And he tried to live every day like it was the last.
And I did. Way too much sometimes. I almost made it the last seven times.
Mm-hmm. The oldest. Yeah, the last.
The miracle was America.
Oh, I know that.
We come from different worlds.
Totally different.
Different worlds. It's a miracle that some of the people have come to this church for a minute and sat through a sermon and actually got something. It's a miracle when sunglasses are worn.
It's a miracle when we're out together like this every Sunday.
Again, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that. That wonderful piece of me is this verse right here in the middle of nowhere land. It's just nothing. It's
just believe me, friend.
All of it had to happen to make us happen. That's the miracles I see. Here's those miracles I see. You know what your thought of. Repent. The time of kingdoms at hand is near, right? What does that mean? Near. What does it mean? Is it tomorrow?
No.
Is it today?
Uh-oh.
Next year?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
So we know it's near, and what is near to God? It could be, you know, but it could also be right now.
When we walk out the door.
Right now. So make sure that that right now happens, that your heart and soul are ready for it. God's not asking
you to be
perfect. But he is asking you. But you're trying.
I'm telling you something really crazy. Hold up. I've had these recurring dreams since I was like 11. It's just something that I come up in my mind. Is that daydream or I'm just thinking about God, I can walk out this door and everything is gone. And then you want to go with you want to go with the lamb or you want to go with the goat?
See.
And I'm going, I love those men. And they stab me. So I'm taking that something. Yeah, and every time I have it, it's a different thing. It's like they're fighting and taking hostages and stuff, and I'm walking down the street, and this guy walking up and goes, you wanna live or you wanna die? Well, if I'm going to die, then I can sit now. Because I know where I'm going. I don't know.
I think it's your mind trying to decide if you're doing the right thing.
I know right or wrong. I'm going, the right thing to do is just take what everybody else is doing, get on the line and go to heaven.
But if you stay here, then another thing is, we're
all in a line. And the further we go, it gets dark, but you see a light at the end of it. And when you get up there, you ask, have you been saved? Or would you like to stay? And I'm going, I'm insane. And so he pushed me off the cliff.
I think it's a dream that's supposed to make you think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's making you think about, do you feel like you would want to continue on, or do you want to stop?
Right, and I don't. I want to continue on, but I'm going, so if he's going to do like that, I'll never go.
So why would you pick the option of just shooting there?
Because I don't want to stop with anybody else.
But you do want to go on, right?
Right.
So you would say, I want to.
But in my heart, I'm going, God, are you ready for me or not? And my question is, if he shoots me, I'm gone. I'm going to God.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Say it very quickly.
I'm just kidding.
Four words. I will
be done. There you go.
You have to somehow get a relationship with God. You say, look.
What'd you say? Leave it up to God. I mean,
your will. It's like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? I said that right that time.
Yeah.
It's take this cup away from me. In other words, hey, please don't give me two things. I'm scared. I don't want to. I'm human. I'm going to hurt. I don't want to do it. I don't want to die. That's what he's saying, right? But he says, after he says all that, I'm pleading for this Father. Please don't make me do this. He says, but your will be done. Whatever your will is, I will do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we have to think. You may not want to do it. And I know Jesus Christ did not do that. He who would. I know he did. But he did. Why? Because God said so.
Maybe that's why he always kills you in the end. Because you don't say something like that.
Thy will be done. Will says it, Tim says it, his prayer always said, leave it at the cross. Leave it at the cross. It's kind of the same notion. Leave it up to God. God made it. That's what he said to our Father. That's why he wants us to ask him those questions. That's why he made us. Who would get asked questions like that? Mm. And God says, pray the right way.
Mm.
Have you ever heard, about your choice?
I have. I'm a grown man. Tell him what you want to know. That's what you. Remember when I told you? Okay, hold on. The one time that I had to resuscitate you, and I put you in the bathtub, in the car, and the son said, "Run, water, turn up, push it the other way, shut up, close the door." And I held him in the arm on the turn the water on, and I put my hand on his heart, and I put it.
Heart
stop. And I just went. If not, I let him know that I love him.
I heard you.
And he went. Okay. I said, you're okay. I cried like 3 hours.
I'm
that was scary. And most people don't believe that. But I tell him, you're just my. I go, okay, good. I go, believe it. God knows.
It seems a lot. There's a lot of super people around my life. But there was a lot of good things.
I believe in my reason. And now it's come to almost complete because I had to come back to him to understand what was going on in my family.
I mean, you know what? It's ongoing. I do agree that paths we cross. There are times when our paths go the way it's times, and it's okay. That's okay when friends and family and loving their past go the way.
Because
it might come back together again, may not. It might. It doesn't mean you can't be parallel with each other, still be friends. But you're not going to be friends like you were.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying about that. But it's okay for us to move on because people can walk away from you. Let
them go.
Why? Because their time in your life
is over.
Don't have nothing more for them to do for you. You can't do anything for them at that point in your life. And if you have time together with that, all you're doing is causing death to each other. You're holding each other back.
That's not good.
I've done counseling of couples that way. I'm like, look, don't love each other. I said, you love each other.
Thank you, man.
Y'all cannot be together because you can't live together. You don't like each other. You don't like what y'all do together. You don't like each other. Y'all have grown apart. Love each other enough to say goodbye.
You would be a good counselor.
It's true.
You would.
Love me. It's a hard thing to be human. I'm human too, and it's a hard one for me. Because I will grab on and I'll hold on to your life. But it's wrong.
And you're
holding somebody back. They're holding you back. And they walk away from you. And you know, it's just because whatever, never loved you, okay, they never loved you. Come back at all. But if you love somebody, you're still going to be in your life. Whether you're together or not, so we're even not peripheral. Calling them once every 6 months. Have you heard about so and so? How are they doing? They okay? Okay. And then you move on. Doesn't mean you're going to be every day intertwined doing things together all the time. But you still love that person. Love is something that is. People, you know, it's not just about, oh, I love you, and I'll be good, and you're my best. Because I love each and every one of you. I still love all of you. And it might bother me when people in my life and I try to love you, I do try, and they disappear. And I am unable to know what happened to them. Sometimes that happens, that's the way the paths work. But it just bothers me because I put myself there. And I think they have true times. And it's not, I'm not about boyfriend love, friendship love, whatever. I mean, I don't know
anyone. Your life.
Their life. way, mine would go away, and I'm going to really, I think about that often. I've been in my life and picked a lot of past.
My favorite, I feel, thank you for sharing your life with me. And he looked at me crazy. What?
So much happy, crazy.
Yeah, you know, I am grateful. You know,
I lost my best friend at 11 years old, and my brother was 10 years old. And, you know, it took me a long time to realize that I was very grateful. I wouldn't trade for the world, but I'm very sad that I had the end of that. So I think I just be with the door. So let's do this. Did you have anything else pertinent?
Nope.
Repeat. So here, next week, I want you to come with an informed decision
about Revelation,
about this Revelations thing, and
about
Jesus coming back from the dead, and coming back to judge living the dead, or did he just come back?
Wow.
What's he doing?
Before, okay.
So let's do this. I'm clear our way out of here. Guys, please trip from your home with this one. It's very important. It's a giant club. I don't like what we say. We agree that we don't believe it. Okay?
We don't even believe it.
You're a part. That's why we're changing things. We've changed our ideas on this. We've evolved. That's what we're talking about.
No, I got that. That's what I'm home of, but I was explaining it.
So good.
Not nine.
So good.
And why did they put that in there?
We're going to all make a very focused this week. Father in heaven. He might not have been a white man, he might be an anchor man. Father in heaven. Creatures, we so rightfully should. So many people in this world do not get this chance, and are persecuted and killed and tortured just for saying your name. And we thank you for the honor of being able to do so every time we want to. Father, please watch out for us today. The weather's coming in again. We keep talking about this. We love the ever-changing world, but sometimes it's rough. And I know we got some snow coming into Dallas, and Dallas doesn't do well with snow. So please watch over everybody. Make sure to see homeless and warm. Have to find some shelter tonight. Father, help us to
understand.
Help us to understand what your will is. Help us to understand what our path is. Help us to follow and listen and obey. Please. We ask all this to cross over. Amen, folks.